Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And joining us now is Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet. Elliot, always appreciate our sit-downs with you on Thursdays. And I will kick it off with my weekly question. I hope you came prepared. I know you did. Update on the coach.
Yeah, Carolyn, I do my research because I know it's like a homework assignment, right? You better be ready, or else you're getting a D minus. And I got too many D minuses already. I don't need any more. I think, Carolyn, we're going to know one way or the other pretty soon. I don't know if it'll be before the weekend. I know it's a long weekend in the States. I don't know if it'll be before that. But I think we're going to have our answer one way or the other. I do think the Predators have at least looked into some things. I think it would be wrong of me to say I know the answer one way or the other because I don't. But I think they've looked at some things, and I think we're going to get an answer one way or the other pretty soon.
Do you know what they've looked at, what those things may have been?
I don't specifically know, but I think they – look, I think it's fair to say that Barry Trotz looked at what might else be out there and if any of that appealed to him. But I don't know if they've actually interviewed anyone. I don't know that they've done that, but I think that they've surveyed. I think the best way for me to put it is they've surveyed the landscape to see what could be out there.
Dipped their toes in the water, so to speak. Elliot Friedman.
Like, you know, yeah, I think I don't know that they're doing anything, but I think that's a good way. I think they said, if we want to do it, what could be open to us?
Elliot Friedman is with us, 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet. And if we live in the world of if the Predators do decide to move on from John Hines, I know we talked about Spencer Carberry this past week. That's been a name that's been thrown around a lot around these parts of a really hot coach and name on the market. Another name that we've talked a good bit about is Carl Taylor, the head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals. Had a lot of success in Milwaukee, obviously groomed those players to be able to come up to the next level and have a good bit of success at the end of this past season. But I think the thought or maybe the hesitation there is going from – you know, the AHL to the NHL might be a big step when even playing in a certain system in this John Hines system for so long. It might be too big of a step to go from AHL to NHL head coach. What's your philosophy on that from promoting coaches from the lower level to the highest level of hockey?
I don't agree with that thinking flat out, Carolyn. Like, you know, at one point in time, you know, the greatest coach in Predators history, Barry Trotz, was an AHL head coach.
Yeah.
And someone had to give him a chance. You know, I would say more than anything else, honestly, is that if any organization should know if Carl Taylor's ready, it's the Predators. I mean, they've had him there for a while. You know, the one reason I've kind of thought that maybe he might be a guy who they look at is that there are going to be players on this team next year, starting with Novetchkin, who he knows really well. And if you guys are going to get back into the playoffs, a guy like Tommy Novak is going to be a big part of it. And who knows him better than Carl Taylor? So I would think that if you think the guy's ready and you think he's the best guy, then you should hire him. Because there are lots of coaches who've gone from the American Hockey League to the NHL and have been very successful. So I wouldn't rule him out for the theory that you put forth there.
Elliot, we saw the hit that Jamie Benn had the other day. Subsequently, he was suspended for 2 games. Are you in agreement with that suspension?
I was actually surprised. I thought it would be 1. Like, that's a first of all, I'm never gonna disagree, Derek, with a suspension where a guy made a play like that. Like, I'm not. I think if any of us were surprised by anything, like, basically, Derek, they weigh it. Like, a 1-game suspension, like Brian Burke, who I work with, have worked with, he used to do that job in the NHL, and he talked about the playoffs having a multiplier. Like, if you got suspended in the first round for 1 game, that was like two regular season games. And he kind of would look at it like every round you added a game to that. If you got suspended in the second round, it was three regular season games. So basically, if you use Brian's math, and to be honest, it's been a while since Brian's done this job, like basically that's like an eight-game suspension. And, you know, last round, Alex Pietrangelo of Vegas got one game for a pretty vicious slash on one of the game's best players. The other thing, too, that was interesting about this one, Derek, is it happened with 58 minutes to go, and the player that he cross-checked, Mark Stone, thankfully, he was not injured. He played. And in a lot of cases I've seen, the league will say, hey, he sat out for 58 minutes. The guy wasn't hurt. We're good. When he got the hearing, I thought he was going to get one. I was surprised he got two, but I don't think anybody's going to argue with that kind of play getting a harsh suspension. I think, like, I like a good, tough, mean game, but there's no room for that. We just don't need it.
Yeah, you're right about that. I saw that, and I thought it would be possibly more, considering, mm-hmm. you know, him being who he was, and it sort of, was it a frustration penalty or whatnot,
yep.
but it just seemed like it was totally out of you know, left field and out of sort of who he is as a player, and for him to do something like that, I thought not only would the league suspend him, you know, for a game, but multiple games if indeed that series went a little bit further, which I don't expect it to go, seeing mm-hmm. the situation that they're in. Now, Sergei Bobrovsky, this is a guy that got benched. But now he's playing. He's been one of the sole reasons why the Panthers are where they are. He played lights out yesterday. He ended up giving up three goals, but they ended up winning 4-3 to end that series. What do you think was the change for him?
Well, I think there's a couple of things there. Like he in the past, Derek, has been a hell of a goalie. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a guy who's won the Vezina Trophy as the league's top goalie. This is a guy who was the backbone of a team. On some level, I think if it was the pressure of his contract, like, he signed a 7-year deal at $70 million, and like, it was a big front loaded contract. And like, there was like, that's a big ticket. And part of me wondered if he either didn't have the edge anymore, or he crumbled underneath the pressure of it a little bit. Like, for a long time, like, he was not living up to this end of the contract. Now, the other thing about Bobrovsky that's really interesting is, if I don't know if you guys have seen any pictures of him. There have been some pictures of him on the internet. Like, for example, when they knocked out Toronto, they gave him whatever that team trophy is for player of the game. He's really skinny. He's like I'm not as fat as I used to be, but he's like half the size of me. And I've heard that's a thing. Like, the Panthers have realized that if he plays 8 or 9 games in a row, he can't handle it. He gets dehydrated, and as a result, he's very strict about what he puts into his body. Like, the question is not how he takes care of himself. It's, he takes care of himself very well. He just can't handle the workload. And I think one of the things that's happened in these playoffs is, A, he's rediscovered his form. Like, he can be this good. But B, they've never had to play him a ton in a row without a lot of rest. And now, again, they're going to get rest before the Stanley Cup final. So, like, I think he's for whatever reason, he's rediscovered his form. He's back again being the Bobrovsky we know he can be. But secondly, the workload hasn't been so ridiculous that you worry about him getting worn down. And I think those two factors to mix together have brought him back to an incredible spot. Because you're right. Like, I don't think he's the only reason, but he's the main reason. And he's been the best player in the playoffs.
Sportsnet's 32 Thoughts, the podcast. Elliot Friedman is with us. So, Elliot, we just figured out that the NHL Players Association, or the NHLPA, for people who don't know what that is, will review that Kyle Dubas' relationship with his agent, Wasserman Hockey. That's who he's with. They're going to take a look at that. So I'm just curious, from your standpoint, with the buzz in Toronto and Kyle Dubas leaving that organization now, what do you make of what's happening up there right now, Elliot?
Well, it's been a crazy story. Like, up until 5 days before he was fired, Nick, we thought he was coming back, and they were in negotiations for him to come back. I think even the person who fired him, the president there, Brendan Shanahan, he thought Dubas was coming back. And then Dubas held a media conference where he kind of talked about, a bit of burnout or how it was affecting his family. And Shanahan admitted that he kind of worried that maybe Dubas needed a break or he wasn't all in. And then there's, we've heard Shanahan's side of it. We haven't heard Dubas' side to any real depth about a contract negotiation that, you know, Shanahan said he changed the terms at the end, and Dubas used the word consistent in his statement, which would seem to say it'd be him disputing that. But we just don't know. Like, there's two narratives. It's like a breakup, right? There's one side, the other side, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. But it shocked everybody here, and people took a lot of sides, and there was a lot of nastiness that came out, you know, about that story. So basically, the way it works is, in the NHL, if you're a certified agent, you cannot represent players and either coaches or managers. And that's decreed. Now, the agency that Dubas is represented by is called Wasserman. Among their biggest clients are Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, and some guy you may be familiar with who wears number 59. His last name is Yossi. I think you guys know him a little bit. And Dubas is represented by another agent at the firm who does not represent hockey players and is not certified to represent hockey players. Now, I don't know if you guys know anything about the agent business, but it is nasty. And I think there are some agents who are upset about this. They think it's against the spirit of the rules. However, from what I understand, it's not against the written rules. And we'll see if they make a change to it. But that's kind of where the story is. But there's been a lot of shock here. People have really picked sides. It's been, it's like the Dallas Cowboys up here, right? Like, nobody's neutral. Everybody's got a side, and it's nasty. And, you know, eventually we're going to move on. Dubas is looking at Pittsburgh and maybe Ottawa, depending on how the sale goes. And the Leafs have started interviews for their position. So at some point in time, we'll go on to the next story full of hysteria.
Last one for you, Elliot. Looking at the Florida Panthers, what about this team, a team that just kind of barely squeaked into the playoffs, a team that took down the big bad Boston Bruins in round one? What do you think makes them a championship team? I don't want to act like they're some, you know, ho-hum little team that just won the President's Trophy this past season. Yeah. But this year, this regular season was not as good of a regular season that the Florida Panthers had this past year. So what about this team has catapulted them to the Stanley Cup final?
Well, Derek asked about the first one, and that's the goalie. The goalie, like, anytime you have a goalie saving like between 95 and 97% of shots, you're in a really good place. But the second thing is they play with great structure and they're nasty. The NHL is two seasons, the regular season and the playoffs. And people argue that the officiating changes. I disagree with that. I think the players change. You can't play 82 games in the regular season like you play 28 in the playoffs. And the 28 in the playoffs are not for the faint of heart. And that's a tough team, a disciplined team in terms of the structure they play, and they play hard. And I think if you have great goaltending and you have talent, depth, and a willingness to play hard, you have a chance. And, you know, Florida's got all of that. I think they were a little thin depth-wise, Carolyn, but they've had, lower players on the roster make big plays, like Longberg scoring that goal last night. But I just think they're disciplined and they're tough. And you can win with that in this league.
Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Appreciate you as always, Elliot. I will ask you about the coach next week.
I'm hoping that one way or another we know the answer, Carolyn.
Thank you, Elliot.
I go to bed at night and my head's like, Carolyn's going to ask you about the coach. You better be ready for this.
I'm not seeping into your dreams and I'm not keeping you awake at night. But you know, this is serious business now, Elliot. Talk about
the coach.
I appreciate you, Elliot. Thank you so much.
Have a great Memorial Day weekend, everyone. Take care.
Do the same.
Thank you. Yep. Have a good one, Elliot. Elliot Friedman, he is the very best. We'll get into some of your thoughts on this coming up next. Plus, some things that I heard at Titans OTAs earlier this week. What do we make of it? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Valli, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.